Hey everyone, this is Steve Saunders with Media Gauntlet, doing my first, I guess, podcast, broadcast, blog cast, I don't know. But this is my stack, as I've entitled it, going on here at Media Gauntlet. It's our first pod broad blog cast that we're putting up on the site, and I hope you enjoy it. I'm doing most of this off of the cuff, if you will, or off of my short sleeves and wrists, or whatever you want to call it. What I'm going to be doing is going through a stack of comic books that I've been reading recently. Not all of them completely current, but things I think you should check out, things of interest, and things of that nature. No strippers, unfortunately. I'm very sorry. Maybe next week we can get some of those strippers and dwarven dancers in. But yeah, first a little bit about myself. As I've said, my name is Steve Saunders. My primary thing I do is I write a column for SilverBulletComicBooks.com called All the Rage, I suppose widely read comics column that delves into rumor and some cool news and previews and things like that. And whatever else I feel like writing about comic book related that week. I also write for Media Gauntlet as well as Silver Bullet Comic Books, and I do various reviews and things of that nature, from comic book reviews to video game reviews to movie reviews or whatever. Not as prolific as, say, Ryan Speck is on the site, but I'm trying to catch up to him a little bit. Hope this makes up for some of it. What else do I do? I have a column coming up over at Silver Bullet Comic Books called Indie File. I also do something for a site called MangaLife.com that is called Manga Hunter S, but I've only had one installment of that so far. I'm pretty lazy, as you can see. One installment in, like, what, 3 weeks? Nah, I don't know. Something like that. Anyway, moving right along. I'll probably be saying that a lot this broadcast, so you'll have to bear with me. I'll probably say that a lot, too. I tend to repeat myself a lot. I like to say the word or the phrase a lot. A lot. A lot. Anyway, let's get started, shall we? First off, I would like to discuss, let's see here. I really do have a huge stack of comic books in front of me. Let's see, what would be great to start off with? Looking. Ah, here we go. This would be awesome. G.I. Joe vs. Transformers, Black Horizon, Part 1 of 2. It's a 48-page extravaganza that's put out by Devil's Due Publishing. If you feel like checking these guys out, let's see. Oh, just use Google, for God's sake. But anyway, this issue, of course, as I just said, Part 1 of 2. And it involves G.I. Joe and the Transformers. Or those two, I guess you could say, interests share the same universe in this case. I actually really enjoyed this comic. I can't wait for part two. I mean, this was sent to me as a review copy, and to be completely honest, I'm totally willing to purchase the second one. There's a lot going on in this issue. You got G.I. Joe, you got Cobra, you got the two sides of the Transformers, which is the Autobots and the Decepticons. If you don't really know that, I don't know why you'd be reading this. We've got Cobra La, who have a great war cry. Cobra La 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 La, who are like these snaky freaks that live in the Himalayan mountains, I believe. And you also have some cameos and an appearance of Joe Colton, the original G.I. Joe. Remember the devil? Where'd that come from? Doll. Devil doll? He might address as a devil. I don't know. But remember those dolls that came out with G.I. Joe? And then, of course, they had the metal arms guy, the G.I. Joe adventure team, all that stuff. They show up in the beginning of this, which is totally cool. And then they run into the Pretenders and Cobra Law, and it's just... Wow, it's just totally cool. And then, of course, you have, you know, General Hawk and Optimus Prime working together, and Destro, and not all the sides are all aligned together, so you don't know for sure what's going on. Let's see, what else is going on with this? Oh yeah, Unicron's gonna pop up. This is all like a big setup for Unicron next issue. I'm not really giving too much away. You really need to read this, especially if you like fun comic books, and especially if you like G.I. Joe and or the Transformers. Writer Tim Seeley and artist Andrew Wildman deliver a wallop of an issue here. And the colors are great too, so bravo to the colorists. Next up, I'd like to talk to you about something that Ape Entertainment sent me called Magnitude. I think I've discussed this before in All the Rage. I'll discuss a little, a little bit here. It's written, well, the creator, writer, inker, colorist, and letterer is Greg Waller, with Alex Jimenez or Gimenez on the pencils. This Magnitude is a lot of fun. If you're looking for something that's like a classic superheroes, that classic with a bit of a twist, on it, that not too much of a twist, but it's a, classic superhero stuff going on and some fun art and great pacing and everything. I recommend this, and it's, they say it's for all ages. I would say it's not for like little kids, but it's certainly anybody of any age can read this. And actually, ooh, Earl Grey tea's coming up. Actually, it's got a great cover by the infamous John Byrne. A lot of people like to rip on him. I know I have in the past. But Mr. Byrne, you've done a great job on this cover here. Looks great. Probably some of your best work in years. It's too bad that's all you're having to do with the issue, eh? So yeah, pick it up. Ape Entertainment delivers. And while I'm speaking about Ape Entertainment, I'd like to also talk to you about Athena Voltaire, another thing that's come out on Ape Entertainment. And if you go to their website, www.ape-entertainment.com, I got my hands right here is the Athena Voltaire, the collected web comics, and a lot of people have raved about Athena Voltaire. It's great art, great coloring. These are the web comics. There's also the, she also has her own standalone comics like the ones I have here. Oh, they're here somewhere. Oh, there they are. Flight of the Falcon. It's a new series going on. Recommend Athena Voltaire. She is, of course, a adventuring aviatrix. That means a female pilot who can kick some serious ass. She's like Indiana Jones, but I have to say, dare say, cooler than Indiana Jones. I recommend this highly if you like adventure stories set in the pre-World War II, but still has Nazis type stuff. You're gonna dig it. Let's see here. Since I'm already talking about Ape Entertainment, I might as well bring up the Black Coat. Now, the Black Coat I got here is you can get a Call to Arms, which is the new Black Coat. It's the new Black Coat comic in trade paperback form, or the comics in trade paperback form. This is an excellent grab for, especially for you guys who are history buffs. Adam Kogan, I'm assuming, is the primary creator here, with some writing from Ben Litchius. Just Mr. Kogan has crafted a superb story. We've got some black and white art here that's just to die for, done by Francesco Francavilla. But essentially, Black Coat is about, as it says in the back, follow the adventures of the Black Coat as the as he battles the British and the forces of the occult in pre-Revolutionary War New York City. Filled to the brim with explosive action and pulp-style adventure, Chris McCoskey at Comikaze.com said the Black Coat is by far one of the best period comics I've ever read. And you know what, Chris? You are totally right. This is one of the coolest finds I've found in the past year. I highly recommend it for those of you who enjoy just plain damn good comic books. Let's see what else I got here. Man, I better keep my stack in line. I don't want to be repeating myself too much. If you've been living in a cave, comic book wise, for the past few days or past week or so, you might not know that the terrific comic book series, The Boys, was canceled. It was on Wildstorm, which of course is just a it's a imprint now. It's an imprint of DC Comics. They canned The Boys after 6 issues. And it took a while to build up this 6-issue arc. You got one, issues 1 through 5, not much going on. And then 6 is like this huge fight between the main characters and a superhero group called Teenage Kicks. And I'm not going to get into all that. You can use Wikipedia. Just look up the boys comics under wikipedia.org, and you can get a pretty good explanation of what goes on. What I'm holding in my hands right here is issue number 6, which of course has the ominous hamster on the cover, covered in duct tape. And you can only imagine what that's all about. And it doesn't really make it very surprising I got canceled. The rumors that do it to content, and the DC did not like how the, I guess you could say, parody of the hero of their heroes was going on. But that's, I think that's kind of when people say that DC was mad about about Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson parodying their superheroes, they seem to forget that, Teenage Kicks could be, for instance, they could be the X-Men from Marvel, or the Seven instead of the Justice League, they could be the Avengers. So, it's parodying superheroes, comics in general. But anyway, it got canceled. It'll get picked up again. My call is for Image Comics, possibly Dark Horse, maybe Avatar picking up the boys for publication. But you got to check it out. You got to read it. It's not for kids. I will tell you that straight off the bat. It's not for children. It's an extremely violent and sex-oriented comic. And by sex, I mean they have to just they Ennis and Robertson, writer Garth Ennis and artist Derek Robertson, phenomenal artist Derek Robertson, creates this world where superheroes are just total assholes. And I mean that in more just the way of an insult, if you're catching my drift here. Anyway, the boys, the first 6 issues are out there. If you can find them, pick them up and read them. I also had the pleasure of reading an advance copy of Dark Tower number 1, The Gunslinger Born, which is apparently approved by Stephen King, because it's the Stephen King series Dark Tower. Absolutely gorgeous. Wow, just such a pretty comic. I'm gonna be picking this up physically, obviously. Creative director and executive director Stephen King, plotting and consultation by Robin Firth, script Peter David, and of course the terrific art by Jay Lee and Richard Eisenov? I hope I got that right. And the lettering is by Chris Eliopoulos. And I mention a letter because I am a very firm believer in good lettering can make or break a comic in many different ways. As a huge fan of 2000 AD, which I'll bring up many, many times, Tom Frame, rest in peace, was one of the best letterers around, and he actually helped create the mood for such a wonderful comic. And, letterer here does a great job. I picked up the sketchbook to Stephen King's Dark Tower, Gunslinger Born, and some awesome stuff in here to see. It was a great taste of what is to come with the comic book. Then I read the comic, and I'm not going to talk much about the number one here because I promised my editor over at Silver Bullet Comic Books that I wouldn't. I will be a part of the SBC Slugfest coming up this Sunday. What would the date be? If it is the second today, fourth? Yeah, something like that. The fourth. February 4th. Anyway, whatever Sunday's near there. I'm going to be in that Slugfest. I will be discussing, I'll be one of the 6 reviewers, I believe it's 6, reviewers discussing Dark Tower 1. I will tell you that it's worth every penny to pick up, and it is as good as Marvel's been hyping it to be. I'm sure some people will disagree with me on that, but do I really care about their opinion? No. So yeah, pick up Dark Tower number 1, especially if you're a fan of the series. Myself, I was a fan of like the first 3 books, and then I kind of lost interest. Maybe it was the whole like 10 years between novels thing or something. But anyway, moving right along, many of you who have read my stuff before know that I'm a big fan of my buddy Brandon Jurwa, and I'm going to tell you again, pick up Battlestar Galactica Zarek number 1. Dynamite's got some awesome stuff coming out of their little publishing house, and you know what? There's some awesome stuff. So BSG Zarek. For all you Battlestar fans, you have to pick it up, especially if you like the Zarek character. Who doesn't? And Brandon does a knockout job with this. And also, I think number 2 should be coming out pretty soon, if not already. I'm gonna go check the store. Great art, great story. Pick it up. Next up, if you haven't been reading the Starship Troopers comics out on Marcosia, I think you should. Tony Lee, writer extraordinaire. This is a guy that that's going to be someone who's going to be a famous writer in the future. Whether you like it or not, Tony, you know it's true. That's what you can be smug for a moment. Moment's over. Okay. So yeah, Tony Lee is writing is made Starship Troopers the non-shit fest that the movie was. Now, the movie was campy and fun until you see the director's commentary and realize how much of a douchebag Paul Verhoeven is. But at least in regards to the movie. But Tony Lee has taken this franchise and created some awesome stuff. Now I believe Warren Ellis wrote some Starship Troopers comics that weren't bad in times past, but Tony's really brought this back. And the artwork's not bad. I heard there's a new artist coming on, which is going to be even better. But the, Shanath and Jetty on here on Damage Justice isn't bad. It's kind of cartoony looking. But, there's some painful moments. Okay. But Tony's writing carries this. And if you're a fan of sci-fi and military stuff, and if you're a fan of like Battlestar Galactica, you should be picking up Starship Troopers. Especially if you're a fan of the novel that Heinlein wrote. What else do we got going on here? Oh, hey, look, Dead Man. The Dead Man. Dead Man? Oh, just Dead Man. Out on DC's Vertigo imprint. Real quick word on this. I got issue 5. Haven't really been keeping up with the series, but I liked what I read. I like how they rebooted this character. I like him better than the original, at least in what Bruce Jones and John Watkiss is doing. Some fine stuff. If you see it, check it out. Especially if you're into people dead coming back to life and doing stuff. What else do I got here? Oh man. Oh man, oh dear God. I have to talk about this. Okay. A while back, I received some comics in the mail. It was Liberality for All. Now, I really hate to give this comic book, this series of comics, I use the term comic loosely and good or anything else that might be positive very loosely with this. I hate to give them any kind of exposure, but I'm going to because I have to say something on this. I haven't written anything about this, maybe in my live journal or something, but. Liberality for All is a series of comic books that is about a grim future where Al Gore won the presidential election of 2000 and liberals have ruined the country. They've allowed the UN to take control of the United States with, German blue-helmeted Gestapo dudes running around and doing horrible things to like patriotic Americans who want to let freedom ring and all that bullshit and they it's a conservative's nightmare, which actually the way they portray the world is much like how many of us would think right-wing conservatives would run the country if they got full control. You know what I mean? So anyway, I love satire as much as the next guy. I mean, Judge Dredd is probably one of my absolute favorite comic books, so I'm a big fan of satire. And I thought, hey, maybe these are satire. So I read them, and by read I mean I at times wished I had been thrown into a prison cell and gang raped. This is some horrible, horrible stuff. The art is the only saving grace, and that's like saying I got drowned instead of set on fire with my children. That's really, it's not really much of a consolation. Mike Mackey, you're hearing it from me first. Well, you're obviously not hearing me first. Probably have told people have told you this probably multiple times. You're a shitty writer. You can't write worth a crap, and your ideas are absolutely dreadful. Even if this was a satire, this is absolutely horrible. And Donnie Lynn, the artist, wow. Well, I hope you were paid, pal. And anyway, Sean Hannity, G. Gordon Liddy, and Oliver North as a triumvirate of conservative heroes. With Sean Hannity as like a biomechanically enhanced superhero with a freaking eye patch like Nick Fury or something. And then you have G. Gordon Liddy and Ollie North who are like, this is all taking place in like 2020 with evil President Chelsea Clinton and of course Michael Moore. You got to throw him in there. Wow. I'm just really glad that they produced this garbage themselves at ACC Studios. I think I'll keep them just for comedic value. I mean, they are funny in that, like, oh my god, I can't believe it, like Uwe Boll kind of way. But even Uwe Boll wouldn't produce shit like this. So, Mike, more power to you, man. It's nothing personal, but yeah, if this is what you can do, if this is what you can deliver comic-wise, I'd get into like, I don't know, postal service, maybe work in a movie theater, or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. I hate being negative. So let's be positive for a second with the Exterminators out on also on the Vertigo imprint. Man, I love Vertigo. The Exterminators, Bugs, Horror. Really cool stuff, adventure. Very hard to describe, but you will feel like you need to take a bath sometimes after you read this. Great comic. Check it out if you get a chance. Number 12 had a great self-contained story that involves the Khmer Rouge. Need I say more? Freaking awesome. Next up, Image Comics. Image and Dynamic Forces released Jay Lee's Hellshock. Remember Hellshock? It was like a comic book that Jay Lee did. I mean, he's a phenomenal artist. Let's not kid ourselves here. I mean, he's awesome. Remember he had this comic book a while back. I think Ryan Speck was telling me about this, and it took like a year between issues or something. He finally finished it in his collected book right here. It's only $20. Well worth picking up, especially if you like dark stuff. I'll read the back really quick. Madness, love, betrayal, despair, hope. In the confines of a psychiatric hospital, a young woman makes a startling discovery as she meets an enigmatic stranger who believes himself to be an angelic presence, gifted with the powers of God, and not of this earth. Has she fallen into the mouth of madness, or does she stand as a witness to a miracle? Jay Lee's Hellshock is presented here as a recolored and remastered definitive edition containing the entire series in one volume, including a never-before-published 22-page conclusion. Also included are 22 pages of previously unpublished, excuse me, unpublished material, including an alternate opening. Also features a cover gallery, sketches, and unseen art, along with a new introduction from Jim Batman Lee. You're not wrong there. I always think of the X-Men whenever I think of Jim Lee, but regardless, read it, liked it, you should too. Speaking of psychological creepy stuff, as I just mentioned last week in All the Rage, Dan Schaefer, who's quite a talent, did The Scribbler, Unzip Your Head. He did Dog Witch. If you've never read Dog Witch, go out and get some. Seriously. This is a great black and white comic here. The Scribbler. It's all about multiple identities and creepy stuff. Multiple personalities, hearing voices, being nuts, experimental treatments called Siamese burn therapy. That's a machine. And, about someone just losing their identities. And you know what? It's really, really good. And you should read it. Next up, we have Dead World, Requiem for the World. Also out on Image. The Scribbler is out on Image, too, by the way. I forgot to mention. This is out on Image as well, but it's mainly done by Desperado Publishing, who published through Image Comics. Now, Dead World is for all you zombie fans. Are you a zombie fan? I am. I can't get enough of zombie comics, man. Like the Walking Dead. And Dead World is right up there with Walking Dead for me. Except in Dead World, which is actually a very long-running series, but in Dead World, the new version of Dead World is just like the old one by Gary Reed, Vince Locke, and Dalibor Talogic. You have zombies take over the world, typical zombie apocalypse, except the zombies have their own society. They have like bizarre magic, they speak their own language, there's like strange zombie-like creatures coming out, and it's not just, and they have a zombie king who runs them, or King Zombie. And you should definitely check this out. Dead World, Requiem for the World is the trade paperback. It should be out now, which collects the Dead World Volume 3, 1 through 6. If you're a new or old fan, you should check out this wonderfully, wonderfully ghoulish story. And it's still going. Next up, for all you history freaks out there, I highly recommend Age of Bronze, which is the story of the Trojan War. We're at issue 24 so far. In this issue, the peace embassy from the Achaeans to King Priam arrives in Troy, but only Hector believes it can do any good. This has won awards. This is a great black and white story. If you're into ancient history like I am, you should check it out. Now I'm just waiting for like a really cool Roman, either it's fantasy Roman or just straight out historical Roman, like the TV show Rome. That'd be pretty awesome. That's also out on Image. You notice I read a lot of Image comics. Image also put out Meltdown, which is a two-part comic book series about a guy that's essentially, oh man, it's so beautiful too. It's so slick, such a slick comic book. And it's about this guy that's called the Flare. He's a superhero, and his death is approaching, and he's breaking down physically, emotionally, and all that. And he's got to like, he's trying to take out the last villain. And it's a really good two-part. I think number two is out too, which I still need to read. But if you haven't read Meltdown, check it out, especially if you like good takes on superhero comics. Let's go to Dark Horse for a second. If you're like me and you're a video gamer, you're probably, especially if you're a PC gamer, you're probably looking forward to Hellgate London, which is coming out soon. Ian Edgerton and Edgington and Steve Pugh put together a comic book for Dark Horse that's based on Hellgate in London. I think it's only going to be 3 issues long, but don't quote me on that. Good art, good story. Basically, demon apocalypse. Think like zombie apocalypse, but with demons, and have the Knights Templar with machine guns and awesome armor and mechs and stuff like that. And you pretty much get Hellgate in London in a nutshell, and totally worth reading, a lot of fun. Ian Edgerton is a great writer. He's co-writing the Warhammer 40,000 comic with Dan Abnett at the moment. Holy crap, 28 minutes already? And you're still listening? Man, I feel sorry for you. Okay, moving on. Fire Blast. This is something it put out on Masterpiece Comics. I got issue number 0 in the mail. This is Fire Blast, Adventures in the 30th Century. Not bad. The story's pretty cool. The art, well, not exactly awesome, but it's passable, you know? Ace Masters does a pretty good job with the tale. This is a totally homebrew job. If you're looking for a cool sci-fi comic to throw in there and you're not really, you know, you just want something that's cool and different. Okay? And it's, let's see here. And it's basically, you know, just Private Investigator, I believe, if I remember correctly. It's been a while, so I got this a little while back, and I'm reading it again. I'm just flipping through right now, and it's basically Private Investigations in the 30th Century. And I'll be rereading it, because I want to make sure the hell I know what I'm talking about. So, yeah. Check it out. I don't know if it's going to be available at your local comic store, but they seem to have distribution through Diamond, so it shouldn't be a big deal. Another comic I got was number 15 of Shadowhawk, out on Image Comics and Shadowline. Just so some of you people know, sometimes Image has co-publishers. Funny little romance book. I admit I like Shadowhawk. This is Jim Valentino's comic. He writes and pencils it. It's pretty good. It's fun. The romance in it's actually not that stupid and corny. Just a fun superhero comic. Shadowhawk's a pretty cool character. Not exactly for kids, but it's written for the kid in you, if you know what I mean. And the cover on this is so... Well, I don't want to use a term like gay. Because, well, you know, I don't know if it seems insulting to anybody or seem like a homophobe or whatever, but this is a very gay, by bright and happy, with a big pink heart and all that stuff. This is a very Sailor Moon-looking cover. And, you know, I actually kind of like it. It's a nice change of pace from all the dark zombie brain-eating crap I read. Another Image comic that was pretty cool that I read recently is Pirates of Coney Island. Which is, well, like gangs fighting each other, essentially, in a nutshell. I mean, the intro, this is like one of the best intro slash, what do you call them, rundowns of what's going on so far, because this is issue number 3 of 8, and it's had someone saying, okay, come on, this is the third fucking issue. You cats should know this shit by now. Rick Spears wrote the fucker, and Vasilis Lolos drew the hell out of it. And that's how they end, and so on and so on. And that's pretty much how they do the credit listing and rundown for the comics. Good times. This Pirates of Coney Island is a fun comic, I think, in dark and not for kids, obviously. If it's using the F word, and you should read it. Another comic, just keep on going. Keep going. 31 minutes, wow. Another comic I mentioned in All the Rage is Common Foe, out on Desperado and Image. I have in my hands in issue number 4. They have the quote from Entertainment Weekly on the cover. It says, writer Keith Giffen and Shannon Denton craft a rat-a-tat narrative. Which is true. That doesn't really say much about the comic, though. Common Foe is about Germans, nutshell, World War II, Germans and Americans fighting each other, then vampires attack them from a well. And then now they have a Common Foe to fight. Simple premise. Really, really good story. Art's not bad either. You might be also aware of my review of Grunts that I did. I wasn't very kind in my review. And Common Foe is not very different than Grunts. Grunts deals with super soldiers and stuff. And I have to admit that I actually ended up checking out Grunts number 2, and it got better, so I'm not going to like totally slam it. I'll stand by my review. But I still think Giffen and Denton are two of the best new writers out there right now. And Common Foe demonstrates this with a great war yarn that, man, you got to check out. Especially if you like war comics and whatnot. So it's Common Foe. And I'm sure I've mentioned Against the Wall before. And this is like a very homebrew job put out by Dino Caruso and Sean Richter and Caruso Comics. This is kind of like a slightly digest-sized. But you know what? Against the Wall's about a guy who basically does one-on-one baseball and bets on himself, and it has all these this really cool story that you should really check out if you get a chance. So you should check out Against the Wall sometime. At just look up Caruso, Caruso Comics. .com actually. And I'm also I was sent Crossroads, which is an interesting relationship comic, a one shot. And you know what? They did a good job. Dino, you're a good writer, man. I really hope you can make it in the industry, writing stuff. Always good to see good writers, and I actually feel more complete reading Against the Wall. These are really fun things I like to read. Let's go. Let's get back in a little like the mini Wayback Machine and go back to a little while back. And I want to tell you about this War Stories Volume 1 that Garth Ennis wrote, which is a collection of comics essentially, with illustrations by Chris Weston, Gary Erskine, John Higgins, Dave Gibbons, and David Lloyd. It's got let's see, one, two, three, four, five stories. Oh, sorry, four stories, pardon me. Four really, really good stories. I just read this not too long ago again. And you can get it from, you know, comic book store, probably Barnes and Noble or Borders, the library, wherever. Garth Ennis proves that he is the definitive current war writer. If it's not like, you know, War Stories, Battler Britain, if you want absurdist, retarded stuff that's also war-based, you know, Adventures of the Rifle Brigade. But Garth Ennis is the definitive war writer. I mean, you read, if any of you has read Punisher Born, which is like a Vietnam version of the Punisher, you know, where Frank Castle comes from. I mean, dude, Garth is he is, in my opinion, the best war writer out there right now. I mean, there's some good war writers, but Garth really sums it up. That's his forte. And War Stories contain some of his best stuff, and if you can read it. Then I also got Army of Darkness Old School, which is put out by Dynamite, and this collects what does this collect? What issues here? No, issues number 5 through 7, and then it has some short stories and from Tales of Army of Darkness and stuff like that. Awesome art, awesome writing. James Kahorick should be given a medal for taking Army of Darkness and Ash and everything, and all the whole Evil Dead franchise and turning into an awesome monthly title. And I got Old School in the mail. Brilliant stuff. If you haven't read Army of Darkness and you're a fan of the movies, the Evil Dead movies and Army of Darkness, check them out. Red Sonja, She-Devil with a Sword. Look, if you're not reading Red Sonja and you're into like Conan Red Sonja, you need to be left out for the vultures or something. This is great art, awesome writing. I'm really sorry if I butcher people's names here, but Michael Ivan Oeming, Oeming, and Mike Carey, but mainly Michael Ivan Oeming, are just brilliant. Red Sonja is one of my favorite comics to read at the moment, and rightfully so. And it's totally got the TNA factor going on, but if you can look past that, this is just a great fantasy graphic novel, and probably the best iteration of Red Sonja I've seen ever. Getting in a way back machine. If you can ever pick up stuff like Battle Picture Weekly from like the late, you know, from the 70s or 80s, I found Battle Picture Weekly, the 1981 annual, and as it says, packed from cover to cover with big tough war action. You want to see what influenced stuff people like Garth Ennis and other writers of war stuff, war comic fiction, then you should certainly read this. And it's got stuff like Charlie's War in here, which is a seminal World War I comic. Johnny Red, just great stuff. You'd find it used or through Amazon or through eBay, or whatever. Check it out. Okay, getting more current again. I'd like to tell you really quick about Evenfall. I've raved about this in All the Rage as well, by Pete Stathis. And I really hope I got your name there, Pete Stathis or Status or Stathis. Evenfall is a fantasy epic, but it's not. But it takes place in modern times. Real quick, let me read the back here. Left lost and adrift by the death of her mother, 19-year-old Phoebe Shankar falls out of this world and into a mysterious and macabre alternate reality. Whether her experience is real or spiraling or a spiraling descent into madness, one thing is certain. She has set out on a journey she may not survive. That's volume one. And, you know, I'm not going to read talk about volume two because I'll be giving stuff away in volume one. But essentially, it's a story about, you know, self-destruction, discovery, intrigue, adventure, fantasy, and ultimately redemption. And some of the best stuff I've read in years. And Pete, you've done an awesome job at this. I think you should pick up volume one and volume two right now, especially for those of you who are looking for something really cool to read. I really recommend it. And those of you who are looking for an anthology comic that's going to totally kick your ass, if you're like me and you like stuff like 2000 AD, anthology comics and whatnot, you should definitely check out Negative Burn, which is put out by Desperado, of course, co-published with Image. And there's some great stuff in here. I mean, the opening story, The Keeper's Carol, is both endearing and twisted. And written and illustrated by Dove McHarg, whatever. Sorry, Dove. You did a great job. That's probably the best story in here. And then there's the cover, by the way, which is Carl Waller did the cover here. And wow, Carl, that's a sexy and just great cover. And I have to. It's yeah, sweet. And if you, I'm sure many of you would agree if you saw it. And there's some other great stories in here, like Aces, which is co-written by C. Willow Wilson and Shannon Eric Denton, who I've already mentioned, and Come the Dawn, the Demon Head of Harbu Kisasi. Negative Burn number 8 was a great issue, and if you can pick it up, it's well worth the $6 spent on it. Next up. For those of you who don't feel like reading PvP Online, which is a webcomic, like a nerdy webcomic, Player versus Player, aka PvP, can be found by Image Comics, co-published with the author Scott Kurtz. Number 30's out. Fun issue as always, basically just reprints of the website stuff, but you know what? It's always fun to read in comic book format. Check it out. Another thing out by Image that I think you should all know about is Pieces for Mom, which is a tale of the undead. Pieces for Mom is done by Steve Niles and Andrew Ritchie. Now, I've been really hard on Steve Niles in the past about stuff. I didn't quite think 30 Days of Night was that awesome, and maybe it was the art, really, but I didn't think it was that great. And I didn't like his I Am Legend adaptation very much. I mean, it wasn't that terrible, but I didn't really like it about all that much. And then I thought Bad Planet was kind of mediocre, and at least the only issue that came out on that until it gets picked up again. And other stuff I've read by him. I mean, he did some really good Fear Agent stories. So Steve Niles, Pieces for Mom, Tale of the Undead is fantastic. Some of Steve Niles' best work, in my opinion. Andrew Ritchie does a great job doing the gruesome artwork. And essentially, the story is about two boys living in a zombie apocalypse who have to feed their zombie mom. And what do you feed your zombie mom? Why, fresh corpses, of course. Or people who are going to be corpses. Or people that taste better when they're alive, or whatever. And so that's what the story's about, and it's got a fun twist in it, and it's very, very, very twisted and evil fun. And bravo, Steve Niles. You did a great job on this, and Andrew Ritchie as well. Good art. Well worth picking up. And I recommend it highly. Actually, one of the coolest things I've read recently. Speaking of things I've read all these recently. I should just stop right there. But what I have in my hands right here is Dorothy, which is a comic that might seem strange to some people because it's done as a collection of pictures that have been manipulated. So instead of being drawings, they're pictures. So instead of someone like Greg Land tracing pictures, you've got someone who just takes the pictures and puts them on the page and manipulates them digitally into some really awesome artwork. I really enjoyed it. A couple of my friends thought it was like, didn't like it as much, but I have to disagree with them. This is some cool stuff. And Dorothy, I'm going to read the back to you right here. Where do you go when any place is better than home? She's tired of listening to the lectures. She's not a child. She's 16, practically 17. They've got no right to treat her this way, Aunt Em and Uncle Henry. They're nothing like her real parents. She's sick of it. She's sick of the farm. She's sick of Kansas. She's sick of the flat gray world and the flat gray future. Well, forget that. Tonight, she gets out. Tonight's when everything's going to turn around for her. Tonight, she starts her real life. She doesn't know there's a storm coming. Now, in the one volume, these four chapters chronicle the first steps of Dorothy Gale's ongoing journey down the darkest roads of Oz, with an introduction by Peter Hanf, former president of the International Wizard of Oz fan club. So yes, Dorothy is about the Wizard of Oz, done into the modern take, and it's got it's starring Katie Fisher, who looks great in a comic, and this is very well done, and good job, Elusive Arts. You have created an awesome comic book, and I'm enjoying the new issues that are coming out that they sent me. So, for all of you parents out there, I found a comic for you called Sonic the Hedgehog. Based on the video game. But this is actually really well written. It's probably my favorite thing off of Archie Comics right now. Issue 170 came out recently. And the world's most way past cool comic. I noticed this also has the Comics Code Authority stamp on it. Haven't seen that in a long time. But yeah, if you're looking for something to read to the kids or read with the kids, my 2-year-old, almost 3-year-old, really digs this. And it's very colorful. It's got great coloring in it, good drawing, and good line work, fun stories, totally for kids. Give it a read. Why don't you? Almost done here, folks. Dragonlance Chronicles: Dragons of Winter Night, put out by Devil's Due Publishing. 48 pages. Each section or each installment of these, they're covering every book from the Dragonlance Chronicles, and each book gets, I think, three or four. I think four issues of 48-page issues. And the adaptation is by Andrew Dabb, and of course the story is by Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman, and as you may have known. But if you've read this, if you've read the books, I think you'll dig the comics. And if you haven't read the books, this is a good way to get the story. And it's not, it's kind of the Cliff Notes version because you can't put everything in here, but it's all the good stuff. Andrew Dabb does an awesome job adapting this, and the art is great. I couldn't ask for better art than this. This is exactly what I would be looking for here. Steve Kurth and Nye, Nei, Nye, Ruffino does the colors, and the colors are stand are one of the standout features here. Vibrant, lifelike. Bravo to everyone that's done this. Not too lifelike, still looks like a comic book, but great stuff. And then, so if you're into Dragonlance, or Dungeons and Dragons in general, like the Drizzt Do'Urden stuff from like Crystal Shard or whatever, they're doing all that stuff. They're doing all that since Devil's Due has the license, and they're doing a knockout bang up job on that license, on the Dragonlance of Forgotten Realms license. So check them out. And then what I got here is A Distant Soil, which I'd heard about. I got issue number 38, so it's kind of lost, but they actually have a huge write up on the inside. They actually have a free online preview of the first chapter of A Distant Soil at www.imagecomics.com. And this is like a complex, long story, basically a space epic, a space saga, a space opera, and I recommend it. If you get a chance to read it, check out A Distant Soil for all you sci-fi buffs out there who like really cool sci-fi stories. And a couple of comics that I haven't had quite a chance to flip through too much yet. Nightwolf the Price. Let's see, this is issue number 3 out on Devil's Due Publishing. It looks really cool, and I know I see stuff like cool and stuff a lot, but seriously, this is a good comic. Just looking at it, and from I've skimmed it. Nightwolf took his frustrations out on Carlos the Pimp as he sought to find the evidence that the cop he killed while in werewolf form was dirty. Meanwhile, Kip met with beautiful but intrepid reporter Callie Carter, who later met with Carlos and was attacked by an unknown assailant. And Nightwolf fell into a trap set by the mayor's so-called werewolf hunter. Hey, if that's not enticing to you werewolf fans out there, I don't know what is. It's certainly fresh and interesting, as BrokenFrontier.com said. So, I'll be reading it. And the last thing is, of course, from Image. What a surprise. Low Orbit Anthology. This is a beautiful looking comic book. It's only $7, and it's got some short stories in it. This is really what heavy metal should be these days. If you think of like the old heavy metal movie that was out. And of course, I don't really read heavy metal anymore because I can only deal with so much tits and ass with swords and stuff. So, Low Orbit Anthology, read a couple of stories in here. There's one especially that I found very poignant, which was Songs from the Gully, which I actually found very cool. Gutterpunks is pretty good too. There's some good stuff in here, really. Riot Girl. If you like cool sci-fi and cool off-the-wall stories, then pick up Low Orbit Anthology when you get a chance. Wow, I've been doing this for a long time, haven't I? You're still around? Damn. We're going on minute 49 here. So I think an hour-long podcast, if you will, is good enough. I've been yabbling on here for just on and on and on. Well, I'd like to thank you for joining me for my first one. I'm really tired. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and man, ugh. So if you've stuck around this long to listen to it, you're a trooper. I probably should shorten the length of these things in the near future or something. But thanks for tuning in, and I'll have more comic books to talk about next time. And I'm probably gonna try to keep it under a half hour. You can call this like my big debut blowout on here, and I'll call that good. So be careful for light bright. Looking bombs, if you will, with the Moon Knights of Hero are invading. They've already terrorized Boston. I hear they could be coming to Seattle any time. You gotta be really careful though, because if you I hear they actually infiltrate us for 2 to 3 weeks before anyone actually notices them, and they have telltale bomb-like signs like batteries and wires coming out of the back of them. So you gotta be very careful. And I want you to be able to tune in next time with all limbs intact. You don't want to be killed by a light bright. That's got to be embarrassing. All right. Thank you so much for joining me. You have a great day, great week, great life, whatever. Oh, and before I forget, I'd just like to let you all know that I can be reached at steve@mediagauntlet.com. That's steve@mediagauntlet.com, folks. And feel free to drop me a line. I'm a friendly guy, love answering email and all that. And I'll be talking to you here next time on My Stack. Cheers.